We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXE in Accra, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. From the WGXE Newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Wednesday, August 10th, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. John Mason is reporting in the Register Star that Hudson Common Council is considering support for an effort to make it easier for undocumented immigrants to obtain driver's licenses. The idea was originally introduced by the Hudson City Democrats, chaired by Michael Charmides, in July. At the Common Council meeting on Monday, August the 8th, Charmides led the public discussion. He said, and I quote, "We all know the immigration system is not working. We can't fix that. But we have immigrants in this country. We can make changes to make people's lives better," end quote. Charmides said it benefits the city to have residents with driver's licenses. He said, and I quote, "It makes their lives better and it makes our community richer. We want people to pay into the pool. It's a win-win for the county," end quote. Emma Kreitch of the Worker Justice Center of New York said she has been working on this issue for more than 10 years since New York State first started revoking the driver's licenses of people without Social Security numbers. Kreitch said measures could be passed by the state legislature or via executive order. The Justice Center's objective is to build support at the local level for the idea. 12 states currently allow an undocumented immigrant to get a driver's license, including Connecticut and Vermont. The council will consider the resolution at a formal meeting on Tuesday, August the 16th. You can read that full story in the Register Star. The National Weather Service in Albany has issued a special weather statement warning of a line of strong thunderstorms that will affect Greene, Albany, Schoharie, and parts of Columbia and Ulster counties on today, Wednesday, August the 10th. Winds in excess of 30 miles an hour are possible, and torrential rainfall is expected. J.P. Lawrence is reporting in the Times-Union that the city of Albany is warning residents to be careful about flooding through the weekend. Daily thunderstorms are forecast in the region through Sunday, the National Weather Service said. More than an inch of rain is expected Friday through Sunday. Motorists are cautioned to be on the lookout for washed-out roads, earth slides, broken water or sewer mains, loose or downed electrical wires, and fallen objects. The Daily Freeman is reporting that a three-and-a-half-hour multi-agency search conducted on Tuesday, August the 9th, in a Livingston lake was called off after authorities found no evidence of a drowning. Columbia County Sheriff deputies were called to Twin Lakes on County Route 19 on Tuesday morning. A man told police he saw a swimmer near a float in the middle of the lake. After the man returned a couple of minutes later, the swimmer was nowhere to be found. He then called 911. The sheriff's office, dive team, Marine Patrol, the Livingston, Germantown, and Milan fire departments, and other first responders assisted in the search. The search covered approximately 50% of the lake and turned up only a sunken boat, police say. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Dana Rubenstein is reporting at Politico New York that New York State is going without $90 million a year in revenue because it will not tax Airbnb users the same way it does hotels, according to an analysis by the home rental platform. By Airbnb's count, 42,000 New York residents rent homes via the online service. Four of the state's 62 counties, Tompkins, St. Lawrence, Sullivan, and Delaware, have begun collecting hotel occupancy taxes for Airbnb rentals on the local level. While the company claims that potential tax revenue from Airbnb users between July 1st last year and June 30th have totaled $90 million, opponents argue that sum would not make up for the loss of taxes normally generated by the traditional hotel industry. You can read that full story at Politico New York. Timothy Knight of the Watershed Post reports that on July the 21st, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed a law that allows hunters to wear fluorescent pink camouflage instead of just the traditional blaze orange pattern. The intent of the law, the story says, is to encourage more female hunters. Richmondville resident Alicia Hoffman told the Watershed Post, and I quote, "I'm glad the color is approved, but I hope that's not the only reason females decide to hunt. That's just nonsense," end quote. The law is only for licensed 14 and 15-year-old bear and deer hunters who are required to wear camouflage. You can read that full story in the Watershed Post. The Mid-Hudson News Network reports into Daily Freeman that while the U.S. Coast Guard wants to establish 10 new designated anchorages sites along the Hudson River for large ships, New York Democratic Senators Charles Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand want public hearings on the issue. The senators say that Coast Guard safety reasons for the anchorages are important, but they have heard from many residents and local public officials that are concerned about the impact barges and vessels in the river will have on waterfront development projects and the environment. The comment period for this first stage of the proposal process runs until September the 7th, but the Coast Guard missed a June 30th deadline to schedule public hearings. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman. Ali Stewart reports for News 10 in Albany that beginning this fall, public and charter schools will post the phone number for the state's child abuse hotline in a prominent location that students can see. Legislative supporters of the law say 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys nationwide are molested, and these signs are meant to give children a way to find help. The signs in schools include this information. Statewide toll-free telephone number, 1-800-342-3720. The TDD-TTY number for the deaf and hard to hearing is 1-800-638-5163. And video relay system providers call 1-800-342-3720. Of course, if you believe that a child is in immediate danger, call 911 or your local police department. New York is back into presidential election news this week. First, the Washington Post released a long story detailing how Democratic candidate Hillary Clinton promised and then failed to deliver 200,000 new jobs for upstate New York during her Senate term representing the state. The story says, and I quote, "But nearly 8 years after Clinton's Senate exit, there is little evidence that her economic development programs had a substantial impact on upstate employment. Despite Clinton's efforts, upstate job growth stagnated overall during her tenure, with manufacturing jobs plunging nearly 25%, according to the jobs data," end quote. In the Hudson Valley recently, both candidates for the 19th congressional district seat commented on Republican candidate Donald Trump's recent kerfuffle with a family of a killed inaction soldier. The Daily Freeman reports that both Democrat Zephyr Teachout and Republican John Faso condemned comments made by Trump. Faso said, and I quote, "Gold Star parents are owed the ultimate of our respect and tribute, and I would never diminish or criticize or question the status of Gold Star parents because their child made the ultimate sacrifice, but the parents' sacrifice cannot be far behind," end quote. Teachout said, and I quote, "I would say the entire question is out of bounds as far as questioning the legitimacy of their point of view. The only way to treat Gold Star parents is with extraordinary respect and honor," end quote. In 2002, the story notes Trump donated $1,000 to Faso's unsuccessful run for state comptroller. Faso told the paper he didn't remember the donations, though he did remember that Trump donated more money to the Democrat Alan Hevesy in that election. And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Wednesday, the 10th day of August 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts there could be scattered showers overnight, 30% chance, with a low around 70. Thursday, scattered showers are in the forecast again, with a high near 91 and a low around 73. Friday, again, there's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, with a high near 86 and a low around 71. And then Saturday, the showers and thunderstorms should just be in the morning, though it could be mostly cloudy with a high near 85. This is Tom Rowe for WGXC. Today we're going to tune in the Monday, August 8th Hudson Common Council meeting in full. We'll hear the entire meeting from Monday, August 8th, recorded by Dan Udell and uploaded to YouTube. You can watch it there too.
This is the informal meeting for August 8th, 2016. We have committee reports on your desk. Two communications, a copy of a letter from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers regarding the permit application of A. Colarusso and Sons, Inc. to facilitate the replacement of an existing concrete wood bulkhead and the stabilization of an eroded shoreline, site location 175 South Front Street. The next communication is from Animal Kind, thanking the city for a recent contribution to recognize the crisis in the number of unwanted felines in the city. First resolution for tonight is appointing commissioners of deeds. May I have an introduction and a second? Alexis. Abdus. Second resolution for tonight is authorizing the transfer of funds to the Adult Recreation Personal Services account. May I have an introduction and a second, please? Mike? Bob?
I have a question. Is this to increase the salary of the staff member we already saw in the previous budget?
This is the addition.
Who approved all of these things? The higher end?
Yes.
Is this for the additional employee or is this for the size? What's the difference?
I'm feeling by the very bold first.
When we first started, we needed to hire, we had a budget drawn up and there was a line already for this amount.
Yeah.
So I just want to know if it's the same line or we added a line.
Is this the first 8 grand or a new 8 grand, right?
Right.
All right. Good question. It says additional funds.
Right.
And it says they're required, but it doesn't say what requires them.
I don't know where it come from. That's true. And I have a question about
okay, well, this came from the mayor's office. Excuse me? Yeah, I understood it as being for the
the part-time employee that was hired for
the one and only, yes. Not the
the one,
right.
Not
right.
The,
yes.
The one and only single part-time employee.
Right.
So yeah, not there additional funds required. That's what
it's it's just being moved from one thing to the service.
From senior programming to personal services to pay a particular person.
So we already budgeted these funds.
Yes.
Yes. Right, which begs the question, why are we budgeting them a second time? And I'd like an answer to that before I vote on it. That's just me. I'll be silly.
Transfer what's in the funds.
Answer for next week.
Right.
Yeah,
we can clarify that.
Let's table this.
Thank you,
Claudia.
Let me finish it. I agree with the job also. Question is, it should be discussing the additional funds to be paid out. Through the committee, we, as a committee chairman, we did not know anything about this funding coming. So let you know that by the record.
Thank you.
I mean, it looks like it's just changing the lines,
yeah.
But not new funding. It's just within the general allocation for the same, essentially the same purpose of being moved from one line to another.
Right.
The next resolution is a draft of the agreement with TGW Consulting Group for grant writing services. Can I have an introduction and a second, please? Tiffany? Lauren? Thank you.
The reason I just says hold on is because at the time we didn't have the Exhibit C, which was the scope of services written out, so I just wanted to make sure it wasn't ready to be adopted until we had that, but I have that and I give it out to everybody today.
Besides the dates, what's changed? From the last contract?
Nothing.
Same fee?
Yes.
Same contingency?
Yes.
Do we ever get an annual record of everything that they've done for the previous year? A list of grants they maybe applied for, and just a general outline of what's happened.
Question, because I haven't been here, so, but
sure,
we could certainly ask for it.
Would you please?
I shall.
Thank you.
Okay. And the last resolution of the evening is support of issuing driver's licenses to New York State residents regardless of immigration status. May I have an introduction and a second? Tiffany? Tiffany, would you like to introduce someone from the audience?
Well, I would like to ask in English as well as in Spanish if the people that are here can explain to the council how important it is to have a driver's license, especially for immigrants. Y lo mismo de, por favor, explica para nosotros, para decir por qué eres importante para tener una licencia para conducir para los inmigrantes. Michael.
Thanks, Council, for taking some time to talk about this, and thanks to the audience for coming out. For those who don't know me, I'm Michael Shimidas. I'm chair of the Hudson City Democrats, and I'm also a resident of the 5th Ward. So we all know, I believe we all know, that the immigration system in the U.S. is not working. It's broken. We obviously can't fix that in Hudson, and we can't fix that in New York State. But one thing we can fix is that there are people who are in our community. Immigrants are a really vital part of our community, and they suffer from a lot of hardships that are unnecessary. And we can make some changes in Hudson and in New York State to make people's lives better. So one of the key challenges is that if you don't have a social security number, you can't get a driver's license. And if you can't get a driver's license, it's just really hard to live around here, especially if you live in a community where most of the people you know don't have
driver's license. If you don't have a social security number.
That's also difficult, yeah. So we all know that people...
How do you buy a car?
People get cars. So one thing you can do if you
have... They work and they get cars?
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like they're suffering from a lot of hardships.
Okay, so, well, we're gonna have some other people speak who can kind of speak to some their personal experience, but I think we all know that there are people who live in this community who occasionally drive and or would like to drive, and if they don't have a license, that creates a huge hardship. On the flip side, even if you don't care about these people and you don't care about their lives, it still is good for the city to have people who have driver's licenses. So that means that they're buying in. If they don't have driver's license, that means they can't get insurance. So we want people who are we want people who know how to drive to take the driver's test, to get a license, to pay the New York State fee, and to get insurance. And that not only makes their lives better and their community better, it also makes our community richer, because I think we want people to be engaging as full-fledged participants in our society. But we also want people to be paying into the pool and to be paying into insurance costs and to be paying into the New York State license fees. So as a whole, I think this is like a win-win for the community and for Hudson. It's a New York State law. We can't change this law in Hudson, but what we can do is stand up and say that we're in favor of changing this law and sending a note to the state, to Governor Cuomo, and saying this is something that we'd like to see changed in the future. The Hudson City Democrats have met on this issue, and we have voted to support this effort, and I hope the council will do the same. And next off, I'd like to introduce Juan Sanchez, who is sort of a leader in the Latino community, and he can talk a little bit more about people's experiences.
Juan. Would it be all right to translate?
Sure.
Great.
Okay, you've been in Columbia County?
Came to Columbia County.
Hace 14 años.
About 14 years ago.
Soy ciudadano de Estados Unidos ahora.
I'm a United States citizen.
Cuando yo vine a Columbia County,
when I arrived to Columbia County,
vine a vivir a Ghent.
I came to
vine a vivir al poblado de Ghent,
New York.
Sí. Y la primera cosa,
and the first thing
que necesitaba
that I needed
para poder sobrevivir aquí,
to be able to survive here,
era un carro.
It was a car.
La tienda más cercana de mi casa,
the store nearest to my house,
quedaba 8 millas.
Was about 8 miles away.
No hay transporte público.
There's no public transportation.
No, los taxis son muy caros.
The cabs are too expensive.
Y hay problemas de transportación.
And there's problems with transportation.
Esa es una limitante para cualquier persona que vive en el condado.
That's a limit. That's a limit to anyone that's living on the continent.
The county.
The county. Sorry. It's
difícil, ¿verdad? Sí, es un problema poderse movilizar aquí si no tienes un carro.
It's an issue to not be able to mobilize without a car.
¿Qué hacen los latinos aquí, las personas inmigrantes?
What do the immigrants, meaning Latin Americans, do here?
Las mujeres limpian casa.
The women clean the house.
Una casa por allá en Ankara.
Like a house in Ankara.
Otra casa por allá en en Harlemville.
And there's another house in Allendale, New York.
No tiene cómo transportarse.
There's no way to transport.
Pero tiene que trabajar para poder vivir.
But they have to work to be able to survive.
Tiene que trabajar para poder llevar recursos a su casa.
They have to be able to work to have resources coming to their home.
Otras personas trabajan en la construcción.
Other people work on construction sites.
Necesitan un carro porque tienen que comenzar a trabajar a las 7 de la mañana.
They need a car because they start working at 7 a.m.
Y salir a las 4 de la tarde o después.
And then get out at 4 or after.
Después tienen que ir a comprar sus alimentos.
And they have to go buy.
Y tienen que ir a llevar los niños a su casa.
And take their children to home.
Entonces, el tener un auto aquí no es un lujo.
To have a car is not a luxury.
Es una necesidad de trabajo. Es una herramienta de trabajo.
To work, it's a tool for work.
Por esa razón.
For that reason.
Las personas trabajan.
People
aquí
work.
Habemos muchos hay varios hispanos aquí.
There's a lot of Hispanics around here.
Si no trabaja, no come.
If you don't work, you don't eat.
Incluso muchos hispanos o latinos americanos o inmigrantes que no tienen muchas personas que no tienen sus documentos tienen ITIN.
A lot of Hispanics, they hold ITIN numbers, ITIN numbers.
Pagan impuestos.
They pay their taxes.
Y producen aquí en este condado.
And produce on this county.
Ayudan en la economía.
They help for the economy.
Hay personas que trabajan en fincas que tienen 28 años de trabajar ahí.
There are people that have been working on farms for over 28 years.
Fincas de ganado, de leche.
Farms of stock and milk.
Fincas de caballo.
Horses, farm horses.
Producción de productos de alimentos.
Farm on production.
Necesitan transporte. Y es un problema.
And it's an issue.
Están manejando sin licencia.
They're driving without a license.
Los ven, tienen que, porque están obligados a ir al trabajo.
They're forced to go to work.
Y manejan sin licencia.
And they drive without a license.
Entonces, están infringiendo la ley.
So they're breaking the law. Right?
Pero,
but
necesitan trabajar.
They need to work.
Entonces, si tienen una licencia de conducir,
so if they have a license, if they hold a license,
les facilita la posibilidad de desarrollar su trabajo que produce dinero a este condado.
It's easy to facilitate the work to help provide for the county. Okay. Go
ahead. Necesitan una licencia.
They need a license conducir. To drive.
Los que tenemos papeles y una cosa bien importante es que a veces nos ven
An important immigrants, thing is that they see us, the immigrants,
y piensan que todos somos ilegales.
And they think that we're all illegal.
Hay muchas personas aquí que tienen residencia permanente y otros somos ciudadanos.
There's a lot of people here that are permanent residents as well as citizens.
Entonces no es un problema, no es que todos somos y que todos necesitamos la licencia.
So it's not like everybody, all of us need the license.
Pero,
but
hay personas que necesitan conducir a su trabajo.
There are people that need to drive to their work.
Contribuir a la economía de Columbia, de no solo de Columbia County, de todo el país.
Construct a
Constituir.
How do you say that in English? Constituir.
Contribuir, sí.
Contribution. Okay. To contribute to the county of Hudson. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
Por eso pienso que es importante que se pueda aprobar esta resolución,
we could approve this resolution,
que después tendrá que ser discutida y hay una campaña que después hay una persona por aquí que va a hacer.
So later on, it could be discussed, and there's someone around here from a campaign
que se llama Luz Verde.
Name Green Light.
Yeah. En el estado de Nueva York y por aquí está alguien que está trabajando
around,
en eso.
There's somebody around here that's associated with that, that's working.
Y si el consejo aprueba esta resolución,
and if the council approves this resolution,
nos ayudaría,
will help
al resto del estado a poder tener una,
will help us in the state to have
decisión positiva en la asamblea para aprobar
a positive decision for the assembly. To be approved, right? To
approved.
Approved. For the sí. Assembly to approve?
Sí.
Okay.
Great.
Gracias.
Thank you.
May I have my name is Sonia Cintron, and I am an American citizen. I've been in this country many years. I am associated with International Dinner. Hopefully some of you know what this is all about. After September 11, with a couple of women, we met, and we decided to get different cultures together so that we can learn to live together with each other. And we figure the best way is food, because everybody likes food. Todos les gusta comer. So because I've been associated with this international dinner, you know, and I want to make a point, it's not only Latinos, Spanish-speaking people here, that need the licenses. We have a community of Bangladesh people. We have a community of Haitians, Polish, and in the international dinner, we planned this for a whole year. You know, we plan every, this is like the 12th or 13th dinner that we've had. We have had a situation where citizens, residents here in the area, they're immigrants, and they have no way to get to work, to take their children to school, to, if there is an emergency, I have volunteered to take some of these people, not Latinos. They're, like I said, it's just not Latinos. I want this to make very clear. There's other immigrants in this country and in this city that really would definitely benefit from this resolution. And if I may say, there's a copy of the resolution and it has a lot of good points. Like when Basilio said, insurances, people will have to pay insurance. If there's an accident, people will be more willing to be witnesses for the police. So there's a lot of good reasons for this resolution to be at least looked at it, really look at it and think about how are we gonna help this community to progress. And it's, remember, it's not just the Latino. I happen to be Puerto Rican, so I'm an American citizen, but I have a lot of friends in many, Bangladesh, Haitian, Polish. There's so many. I'm sure you all know, if you're a resident of Hudson, hopefully you have come across some of them. So keep this in mind. There's a lot of good things that will come out of this resolution, and I really ask you to read it and think about it. Think, how are we going to benefit? How is the city going to be benefit from it? And the state. And, there's only two states that at the present time, I think it's Connecticut and Vermont, that they had passed this resolution. So it's not just like a weird thing that we're asking. It's something that is really being thought about. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about 1987, 86, 87, 88. When this country, I remember that somebody coming like a new again, like an old visa or something. And not even getting visa, just normal visa like that. They have applied for the foreign passport, applied for the super citizenship. And that time New York State was a, gave us a super security card, and they make in bank account at the time, that UID you needed. So one is the passport, foreign passport, another is a bank account ID, making a non-driving ID in the DMV. Then the non-driving ID provided 1-2-3 ID because making it like a driving license. That's a long time ago. But after that, I think so it will change a lot because a lot of happened in this country, especially 9/11. So I don't know what is it. This government thing, and that time was some available source getting there. Immigrant getting some driving license, and that time was happened sometime even social security numbers. That time, I'm talking about 1988, 87, that time. So it is my, because a lot of, I personally helped a lot of people, a lot of testing. That's why I remember that this happened. Happened that time, but after that incident, a lot of incidents in this country happened, and I think so. They closed this, this thing. It's better for something. I believe that you should be have as well security numbers. They can, you can track down who is it, and you can get it. That his biography, data, everything, and you can get a driving license like that. You can do that. This is my personal opinion. I'm not an expert about the law, I don't know this country law. So I believe that that happened that time. After that,
thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am? Your name?
Hi. I don't know. My name is Emma Krejci, and I'm a worker rights advocate with the Worker Justice Center, which is a nonprofit organization. We work throughout New York State, including here in Columbia County, and here with folks in Hudson as well. We work extensively with the immigrant community throughout the state, like I said, and here locally, and this is one of the reasons that our organization has been supportive of this effort to change driver's license policy in New York State. And I would be very happy. I first got involved with this issue over 10 years ago when the state started to revoke driver's licenses from people who could not verify their social security numbers, and it had a tremendous impact on people who couldn't get to work, couldn't get their kids to school, couldn't meet their basic day-to-day needs. And so I'd be happy to answer any concerns or questions that people have about the policy and about ways that other states have been addressing this issue. There are 12 other states where they have found a solution, and I think we here in New York can do better than we're doing now. But most of all, I wanted to introduce a woman whose story I think helps to illustrate why this is so very important for us here in the Hudson Valley, here in Hudson, here in Columbia County, and throughout the state. So I just want to introduce Lourdes Galvan, and I will be interpreting for her. So.
Buenas tardes.
Good afternoon.
Mi nombre es completo es María de Lourdes Galvan.
My full name is María de Lourdes Galvan.
Estoy acá para decirle sobre la licencia de manejar.
I'm here to talk to you a little bit about driver's licenses.
Es importante porque yo no la tengo.
It's important. I don't have one.
Porque es importante porque es para las citas médicas de mi hijo.
It's important for medical appointments for my son.
De escuela.
For the school.
Para ir a hacer compras.
To go shopping.
Porque tengo que caminar como una hora, hora y media para poder hacer mis compras.
I have to walk an hour to an hour and a half just to go shopping.
O para ir a la escuela de mi hijo que me queda retirado también tengo que caminar como una hora.
Also, even just to get to my child's school, I have to walk almost an hour because I live a little bit outside of town.
Y anteriormente, antes, yo vivía con el padre y mi hijo. Vivíamos en un rancho en Lupos.
So, and before, when I lived with the father of my son, we lived on a farm near New Paltz.
A veces el señor del rancho no nos emprestaba el carro para ir a hacer compra. Yo tenía que caminar 2 horas y media y vuelta para hacer mi compra.
When the owner of the farm couldn't lend us his car to go shopping, we would sometimes walk up to 2.5 hours.
Yo vivía en Stone Ridge, no sé si lo conozco.
I lived in a place called Stone Ridge. I don't know if you know where that is.
Yo también ahí iba caminando hora y media con mi hijo a hacer compra y de vuelta. Y ir caminando en carretera no es fácil porque hay gente que respeta, pero hay personas que no respetan. Le pasan el carro a uno al lado y uno se espanta porque en un rato puede haber un accidente.
And there I had to walk an hour and a half to do my grocery shopping with my son, and it was they weren't back roads, it was a highway essentially, and people would drive by really fast, and you know, some people were respectful of pedestrians, but other people weren't, and you know, in an instant there could be an accident.
Por eso yo pienso que es bien importante tener una licencia para poder manejar.
So I think that's one of the reasons why it's so important for everybody to have access to driver's licenses.
O a veces acá cuando va, por ejemplo, yo una vez fui a la escuela, a mí me pidieron una licencia y yo les dije que yo no tenía.
So even here, enrolling my child in school, they've asked me show me their driver's licenses, and I didn't have them.
Yo cuando voy a la tienda a ver de las tarjetas que me dan para descuento, también ahí también me piden a uno.
Even when I go to the grocery store and I'm trying to sign up for a discount card, they ask me for my driver's license.
Yeah, y por eso yo quiero que ustedes apoyen para que nos den la oportunidad de tener licencia para manejar.
I hope that you will all support us in having access to the driver's license.
Thank you.
So if anybody has any questions or wants to ask Lourdes a question, I can interpret.
Anyone else? Mike?
I have a question. At what stage is this on the state level? Is there an active proposal in the Assembly or Senate? And what needs to be done? Is it exclusively up to the governor, or does it involve a measure from the legislature?
There are some different options. There have been a few different bills introduced over the past 10 years or so. It does not have to happen through legislative action, although it very well could. It could also happen through executive order. So right now, what we're hoping is to sort of build as much of a groundswell of support as we can at the local level to move either the legislature or the governor into action. And of course, the more support we can build, we think the more likely it is to see a change in the policy. There is a bill that's been introduced, but it is not necessarily the version that, it's not something that anyone opposes, but it's not necessarily the version that we're fixated upon. I think the goal is to achieve equal access for driver's licenses, and there are a few different ways we could go about it. But right now, we're in this process of really trying to build public awareness about why it's so important and bring the attention of lawmakers to the issue.
Right. So the wording of this is essentially we encourage you to do what has to be done, whatever
exactly.
That is.
Exactly. Very broadly construed, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Before we adjourn, John? Sorry.
This letter from the Department of the Army about the bulkhead at the commercial port facility. The fourth from the last paragraph notes that the determination is not only going to obtain any other federal, state, or local authorization. I'd like a list. I'd like to know what the local laws and city and county, if there are any county, I doubt it, but certainly the state, the CEPA, and the federal, and I'd like to know what the lead agency is and make sure that we're coordinating this properly.
Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Wednesday, August 10th, 2016. I'm Veronica Carter. Here's a look at what's making news today. A Republican senator from Maine is calling Donald Trump not suitable to be president. And Hillary Clinton continues to widen her lead in the polls over Trump. Community groups say a deadly police shooting in Ohio was avoidable, and parents are being advised to know the signs and symptoms of sleep deprivation in their teenagers. In political news, Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine says Donald Trump is not suitable to be president. Collins says she's a lifelong Republican who's always supported the party's nominee. However, she says her growing concern over Trump reached a breaking point when he criticized the parents of a fallen Muslim American soldier after the father spoke at the Democratic National Convention. Meanwhile, New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani is defending Trump after he said that Second Amendment people might be able to stop Hillary Clinton's appointed judges. Giuliani says Trump just meant that people have the power to vote and says a reaction to the comments by the media proves they're in Hillary Clinton's camp. Clinton is widening her lead over Trump in three battleground states. A series of polls of voters in Iowa, Ohio, and Pennsylvania show Clinton's extending her lead. Democratic nominee has her biggest lead in Pennsylvania. She's beating Trump there by 11 points. An FBI agent in Tennessee has been shot and killed. The officer was participating in an undercover drug buy when he was shot by a man in a car in Jackson. While prosecutors say a deadly police shooting in Ohio was justified, some community groups argue the tragedy was avoidable. More from Mary Sherman.
After robbing a Cincinnati grocery store on Sunday morning and threatening a security guard with a knife, officials say 25-year-old Jawari Porter lunged at Officer Anthony Brocato. Brocato fired six shots, killing Porter. Josh Spring with the Greater Cincinnati Homeless Coalition says Porter was homeless and had a history of mental illness. He asks the big question is what could have been done to prevent Porter's death, both before and during his encounter with the officer.
Human life is of such importance and value that we don't want to assume the only option the police officer had was to pull the trigger. We also don't want to assume the only destiny in Jawari's future was to end up in this interaction.
Porter, a former foster child, attended college before getting in trouble with the law and had received sporadic mental health treatment. The Greater Cincinnati Homeless Coalition and Black Lives Matter released a joint statement condemning the shooting. They're calling for an indictment of Brocato, public access to witness and officer statements from the scene, and the release of unaltered surveillance video.
A report by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says some racial and ethnic groups have higher smoking rates than others, and health officials hope to use that information in cessation efforts.
Dr. Brian King with the CDC says the study found the smoking rate among Native Americans is the highest overall at 39%. King says the data collected will help health officials when they're designing anti-tobacco programs and campaigns.
So an example of that is like CDC's Tips from Former Smokers campaign, which is aired on television where we warn people about the dangers of smoking. And those can be targeted to specific populations such as American Indians or Alaska Natives.
Native American advocates say the study also points to the need for an entirely different approach to smoking cessation for indigenous people because tobacco has been part of their culture for centuries. I'm Brandon Campbell reporting.
From fraudulent charges to frozen accounts, thousands of people are dealing with the fallout from the massive data breach at Wendy's restaurants, and so do their financial institutions, which is why Michigan's credit unions say they're fighting back.
The Michigan Credit Union League has joined a class action lawsuit against Wendy's, alleging the crisis was due to poor security measures and a slow response to the breach. The league's Ken Ross says the suit is just the first step. He says when it comes to financial transactions, credit unions and banks are held to a high security standard, but there's a weak link in the chain.
There's simply no similar requirements that exist for retailers, and that's really the source of the problems, is that retailers don't have the protections in place to protect their customer data.
Federal legislation is pending that would hold retailers accountable for data breaches and require them to provide prompt notification when a breach occurs. Ross says similar data breaches at Target and Home Depot stores in 2013 and 2014 cost Michigan credit unions nearly $4.5 million, including reissuing new cards and refunding members' lost money. I'm Mona Shand reporting.
In health news, officials at Prince George's Hospital Center say they have not found a link between the recent deaths of babies and a bacteria commonly found in water supplies. Hospitals started the process of transferring 9 infants out of the neonatal intensive care unit out of safety concerns. A cluster of patients in the NICU recently tested positive for the bacteria Pseudomonas. The hospital has hired a company to help investigate the source of the bacteria. They have not ruled on what caused the deaths of the 2 babies. School's about to start up for some kids and parents who may be fretting over the thought of having to get their kids out of bed in the early morning hours. Doctors say the bodies of adolescents between the ages of 12 and 18 are actually wired to operate on a delayed sleep-wake cycle. And teenagers require more sleep than the average adult, about 9 to 9.5 hours a night. Parents are being advised to know the signs and symptoms of sleep deprivation that includes irritability, impaired concentration, and difficulty staying awake. Sleep deprivation can cause negative health consequences, including an increased likelihood to suffer depression, diabetes, and obesity. You're up to date. I'm Veronica Carter for Public News Service, member and listener-supported and online at publicnewsservice.org. And remember, if you want to help fund news that matters, please check out our campaign on Kickstarter.
This is Tom Rowe with the WGXC News Update. You can go to newsroom at wgxc.org for more information. Diane Valden in the Columbia paper reports that concerned Columbia County citizens are forming the Rojan Watershed Association and will be checking water quality along the Hudson River tributary. Kyer Christian of Germantown founded the group, which is already testing the waters of the Roelof Jansen Kill as part of the nonprofit environmental group Riverkeepers Water Quality Program. Since State Department of Environmental Conservation, quote, staffing is down 10% over the past decade, and its budget is projected to decline 25% by 2020, unquote, according to the story, local citizens groups are now doing the state's work. So far, volunteers have taken water samples from Hillsdale, Copaig, Ankrum, Germantown, Claremont, Livingston, and other areas. Christian's email address is at the newsroom at wgxc.org if anyone wants to get involved in the Rojan Watershed Association. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. Greg Hudson reports in the Daily Mail that the town of Hunter is trying to convince the State Department of Transportation to slow down speed limits on Route 23A in Haines Falls. 3 years ago, a similar effort failed. There have been no major accidents or traffic-related deaths there since. Quote, a couple of years ago, we had a number of residents in the Haines Falls area who live off Sunset Road and utilize that road to enter 23A, unquote, town councilman Dave Kuckel said. Quote, there are some site constraints there, and you don't see cars until the last moment there as they crest the hill coming east from Hunter, unquote. But DOT officials conducted a survey and found that the current 40-mile-per-hour speed limit was appropriate. Kuckel believes that 3 years later there is much more development in the town. A new Dollar General is proposed, for instance, and many more bikers and hikers are on local trails. Quote, we're becoming a much more trail-based community as we look into the future, unquote, Kuckel said. Quote, you take a look at what's going on over in Haines Falls at the old Della Marie Resort property where folks are looking for someone to come forward and do a development in there like a hotel, unquote. So Kuckel said the board has filed a petition with the DOT to reconsider its previous decision on the speed. Read the full story in the Daily Mail. Amanda Fries reports in the Albany Times-Union that voters will not get to decide on whether the Albany County legislature is made smaller. The legislature voted 31-5 against a bill which involved reducing the number of legislative districts from 39 to 33 in 2024 and to 29 districts by 2032. Quote, it's unfortunate that people didn't get the chance to vote on it, unquote, Loudonville Republican legislator Peter Krause said of the downsizing legislation. A Citizens Charter Review Commission 2 years ago suggested the change to the state's largest legislature. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. Amelia Teasdale reports in the Columbia paper that on August 1st, the Kinderhook Town Board unanimously enacted a 3-month moratorium on non-roof-mounted solar panels. Quote, the town board finds that a moratorium should be enacted to enable the town to investigate the appropriate regulation of solar farms and non-roof-mounted solar, unquote, the measure read. Town's codes committee will propose adding to the zoning law in the meantime. Quote, I think it is the impact on the neighbors, unquote, Supervisor Pat Grattan said of why a moratorium and rules rewrite were necessary, unquote. Quote, we don't have anything in the zoning ordinance to deal with this, unquote. The next Kinderhook board meeting is at 7 p.m. Monday, September 12th. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. I'm Tom Rowe. You can find out more about any of these stories in the newsroom at wgxc.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
National Weather Service in Albany predicts there could be scattered showers overnight, 30% chance, with a low around 70. Thursday, scattered showers are in the forecast again, with a high near 91 and a low around 73. Friday, again, there's a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, with a high near 86 and a low around 71. And then Saturday, the showers and thunderstorms should just be in the morning, though it could be mostly cloudy with a high near 85. This is Tom Rowe for WGXC.
I'm Tom Rowe, looking over the WGXC community calendar. Online at wgxc.org, you can add your own event to the WGXC community calendar, and soon enough, folks like me will read it online. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org.
Thursday, August 11th, there's a Hudson Planning Board meeting at 6:30 p.m. at the Hudson City Hall. New Baltimore has a planning board meeting also Thursday, August 11th. That's at 7 p.m. at the New Baltimore Town Hall in Hanacroy. Woodstock Fringe presents Samuel Beckett's Happy Days play starting Thursday, August 11th. That's at the Woodstock Birdcliff Guild, 334 Tinker Street in Woodstock. Friday, August 12th, Hudson Historic Preservation Commission has a meeting at 10 a.m. at the Hudson City Hall. The band Ethel is at Second Ward in Hudson Friday, August 12th. They're the summer artist in residence at the Hudson Opera House, and they're performing their work in progress called Circus. That's at 8 p.m. Friday, August 12th at the Second Ward in Hudson. PS21 in Chatham, Friday, August 12th, has the Rialt Dance Company doing the works of Pascal Rialt. Friday, August 12th, Ginkoa is at Club Helsinki in Hudson. Saturday, August 13th, Cairo Public Library hosts the Peacemakers of Cairo Quilt Guild and their 2016 Quilt Show and 2016 Guild Challenge. That's from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Cairo Public Library, Saturday, August 13th. Brenda Schufelt is at the Hudson Public Library, Saturday, August 13th, from noon to 4 p.m. with Video Poems Workshop for Teens. That's youth age 12 plus can participate through the Spark Media Project. Charles Bradley performs Saturday, August 13th at Mass Mocha with his Extraordinaires. Rich Robinson is at Club Helsinki Saturday, August 13th. Sunday, August 14th, Chris Washburn, Armin Delinian, and Mark Momas are at the Hudson Opera House. That's at 3 p.m., a jazz show at the Hudson Opera House, Sunday, August 14th. I'm Tom Rowe with WGXC.
This is the news.